I just want to talk to you today. We were down in Griffin last night. We went to a party that was given for Dusty Goss, Pastor Goss's daughter. She has graduated college, and they invited us to come down to this little thing they were doing for her. Little thing, it was a pretty big thing. And anyway, we went down, and then we came back late last night. And as we were coming back, the car was quiet, and so I was meditating and thinking and speaking to the Lord in my spirit and just listening. I never want to come in here and not minister what He once said or ministered. And so I'm asking Him all the time, Lord, what do You want to say? What do You want me to talk about tomorrow? What should I do? And so I felt as I began to talk to the Lord, and then this morning as I walked in the parking lot talking with the Lord, I felt that the last several weeks we have been ministering about evangelism. And we have got a lot of the principles and concepts about evangelism. We've got a lot of the truths about evangelism. We've seen things that about evangelism and about the harvest of God that we should know and should have registered in us. But I'm not hearing you talk about it. I'm not hearing you tell me that you're talking to people, that there's something that's birthing in you about evangelism, which tells me that it's in our minds, it's in our thinking, it's something that we want to do, but it's not something that's really taking a root in us, and we're not becoming a church that I would call evangelistic. And so I'm asking the Lord about this, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, what is the problem? Why can't we become a church that wants to go forth and be an evangelistic work, a church that wants to go out, a people that wants to go out and really talk to people about Jesus Christ? What is the problem? And so as I'm talking to the Lord and I'm asking Him about this and I'm wanting Him to help me, the Lord begins to talk to me about change. And that we are in an area, our area is not an area that desires change. Our area is an area that likes things to pretty much stay like they are. Metropolitan areas become metropolitan areas because somebody wanted change. Cities stay small, don't grow, because people do not want change. And the Spirit of God is to change. You cannot have the Spirit of God in your life and not change. It's impossible. When God's Spirit comes into us, comes into our being, into our life, whatever Jesus got into, He changed it. When I came to the city, 1985, I walked into a small church I was the 13th pastor in, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I was still doing the same things they had done for 15, 20 years. But I came with a message of change. I came with a purpose to change that thing. And whenever you go about changing things, you're going to have confrontations. Whenever you want to change something, especially for the kingdom of God, you're gonna have confrontation. And I had plenty of it. And I'm still having it. But I'm still changing things. I was born to change something. You and I are all born, brought into the kingdom of God to change something. God gives us a dream. Within that dream is what He wants us to change. What He wants us to do. And things start coming against us and we start backing down. And we begin to become complacent and we get dry. And we don't feel God's presence anymore because we're not doing what He said to change. And as long as we're going on confronting that which is hindering the change for the kingdom's sake, as long as we're going on like that, then we're not dry. We're excited because we're seeing the kingdom of God overcome darkness. And so God's Spirit is a spirit of change. When he comes into a place, there's a change. I never study in the Scriptures and find a man or a woman of God who did not bring forth change. You name one and I'll show you somebody that changed something. Abraham. He wasn't satisfied with Ur. Something was telling him to get out of there. So he went looking for a city. Went looking for God, and he changed some things. He changed a heritage. He changed a seed, and his seed becomes sands of the sea and stars of the air. Stars of the sky. And he changed some things. Moses. Man birthed to change something. And he went and he changed the whole nation. Took them out of a bondage. Joshua. Man of change. David. Something about David was very, very going on. He was a very progressive person. Man or woman of God that's in the kingdom of God with change on their hearts, very progressive. They cannot sit still. They cannot become complacent very long. They get very uneasy. They get very dissatisfied. They become grumpy. Aggravated, agitated. Book of John. One of the things we'll see. 11 weeks from the 6th. Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus. Martha hears he's coming and she runs out to meet him. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. Lord, I know we'll be raised the last day. No. You hadn't got the change yet. I am. The resurrection isn't a day. The rapture is not a day. So she sends back and she goes in and she slips up to Mary and she says, Mary, the Master's coming. He wants to see you. All these Jews are in there with Mary. So she goes out to meet the Master. All these Jews follow with her. Jesus looks at this. Now, this is what he's looking at when the Bible says, and Jesus wept. He wasn't standing at the tomb. He wasn't weeping because Lazarus died. It was his fault Lazarus died. Well, have you read the story? Martha sends for him. Lord, the one you love is sick. I know it. And the Bible says he still waited 2 days. Got there 4 days too late. He wasn't weeping because Lazarus died. He was weeping because Mary had been sitting in this snake pit with these Jews and these Pharisees. And he come up and she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And the Bible says he grieved within himself. Look that word up. It means he was agitated. He was angry. He was ticked off because these people resisted his change. He came as a reformer. He came into a religious system that was dead, unchanging, nothing. He was just complacent. Status quo. Let's leave it like this. Let's vote him out. We don't want to change. Let's go someplace else. We don't want to change. I don't like him. He wants to change too much. You could have never stood Jesus Christ as your pastor. Never. We'd have been gone the first day. Always confronting everybody. I don't care who you were. You were his disciple. Get behind me, Satan. You were out there receiving the blessings of God. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, I don't think I want to do that. Well, get out of here. The Lord lost more than he kept. Had a big church, 6,000 people. At least. Just 5,000 men. disciples say, Lord, you lost them all. You want to leave too? I'm changing, he says. I'm going to do some change. You can go with me if you want to. We'll go through this together. But if you don't want to, there's the door. That's what Jesus said. We could not handle him. You think I'm mean. This guy's mean. I have yet to form a whip up here with ropes and start running you out. You just think I'm straight. I'm not straight. Talking to the biggest church pastors in the city. Your daddy was a devil. And your mother was a devil. And your grandfather was a devil. In fact, you're a generation of devils. Well, but God told us. He said, God didn't tell you that. Well, I guess he did. I can hear him just like you can. You don't even know him, he'd say. I know him. I'm from him. You don't know me. You don't recognize me. Therefore, you don't know him. Because if you knew him, you would know me. God didn't say that to you. Oh, yes, he did. No, he didn't. And he would not change. I hear people say some of the craziest things that God was supposed to have said to them. And I sit there. But he brought change. And he wasn't worried about having big bunches. He was worried about changing things. Spirit of God is a spirit of change. You cannot get around the Spirit of God and not change. Whatever the Spirit of God gets into, it will change. If he gets into your finances will change. If he gets into your body, into your health will change. If the Spirit of God comes forth into your marriage and your marriage is bad, your marriage will change. If he gets into your family, then your family will change. You cannot experience the Spirit of God and not change. Now, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a bunch of people that wouldn't change. They were of Moses' bunch. And let's start reading 2 Corinthians 3:13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Do you realize that one day this age too will be abolished? That one day the angel will come down and put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and decree that time shall be no more. That this age will too be abolished. Everything is changing. And we don't like change because it's uncomfortable. We don't like change because that means we've got to do something else. We don't like change because we have to discipline ourselves. I'm not through reading yet. We look in the mirror at our fat bellies and we say, man, I need to lose some weight. And we go home and we eat a big old supper and go plop down in our recliner. Belly's full. A couple of hours, we're up. We find our head stuck in the refrigerator, back in the cabinet again. We go eat that. A couple hours later, we're back up. Our head stuck back in the refrigerator. Back in the cabinet again. We go sit down and we go eat that. And we get up the next morning, we look back in the mirror and we say, man, I need to lose some weight. Something's got to change. Am I right? You can't keep doing that. And we talk about change. Boy, we're going to win this area. This northwest corner is ours. This northwest corner, it's ours. We're going to change it. We're going to bring the kingdom. And we pray it and we say it and we sing it. Makes good singing. And we go stick our heads back in the refrigerator again. And get up next morning, look in that same mirror. Man, I need to lose some weight. And we come back to church on Sunday again. I walk by faith. And that's all we're doing. And nothing's changing. And you hear some very excellent messages. So I'm satisfied it's not the preaching. It's our dislike to change and do what's going to be necessary to bring forth revival. Because unless we do something, revival will never come. We sing about it, talk about it, but we lack the discipline to do what's required to do it. A lot of good diets out there. I bet all of us have good diets. But we still get up and look in that mirror. Man, I need to lose some weight. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now, when Christ comes in, the veil is lifted and something's going to change. You're going to see something different. You're going to sense something different. Something's going to change. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And here's what I'm after. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And what is the Lord? He is that Spirit. And where that Spirit is, the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. If you've got another translation, it probably says freedom. But what liberty will do is give you the freedom to change. It doesn't just mean we can come to church. We've got a liberty now that we can shout, dance, run, hoop, holler, prophesy. That's not. We have a liberty to change. And where His Spirit is, something's going to change. The veil's going to be lifted. You're going to see something in your life that you haven't seen before. You're going to see something that needs to be done that's not been done before. And we're going to change it. And what we do is we run up against resistance, we run up against confrontation, and we will not go on. We back down from confrontation. I used to back down from confrontation. I do not back down from confrontation now. Jesus never, not one time, show me one time, He said, I'm sorry. Show me one time that He says, oh, wait a minute, you know, the 6,000, 5,000 leave. Can you just see Jesus? Now, wait a minute. No, you want to go too? See, to change things, you've got to be confrontational. You're really never going to help anybody out unless you're able to confront that spirit. Because the thing that hinders change is controlling spirits. Number one thing that causes you not to look in that mirror and say, man, I need to lose some weight, is your body controlling you. And whenever there is unchanged, there's something controlling. There's a controlling spirit that's got charge of the thing. There's a controlling spirit. There's something there that's taken charge. And the only way that I find that Jesus was able to deal with these controlling Pharisees was to confront them. And over and over. 40% of the book of St. John is confronting Pharisees. You know, do you realize how short the Gospels would be if it wasn't for the Pharisees? The majority of the Gospels are about Pharisees. They're not about the lost. It's about Jesus coming in and wanting to change things. So much that He was willing to die for it. So much that He'd walk into a temple and make a whip and run people out. So much so that he was willing to lose it all. To make a change. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a liberty, there is a freedom to change. But we with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed. Are transformed. Metamorphosis. We go through a metamorphosis. Metamorpho, Greek word there. We go through a metamorphosis like a caterpillar, like a cocoon, like a butterfly. He goes through a metamorphosis. There's something that's happening that you have no control of. It's inside of you, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is this change happening. We're changed by the Spirit. The Spirit of God changes things. Where the Spirit of God is, there's a liberty to change. Where the Spirit of God is, people are going through changes. Where the Spirit of God is really released and really received, and the Word of God becomes the lamb bannered into our lives, where this really happens, things happen and areas change. And I look at great men of God today and I find the same thing true. They change something. They come against confronting and controlling spirits, and they confronted them. And they said, "You're of the devil, and I recognize you, and we're going on." And so God's Spirit is a spirit of change. There's a progressiveness that you find in the Word of God with men and women of God. Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel. Circumstances would not allow Daniel not to change. They castrated him. Literally. He was a eunuch. They killed his parents, destroyed his nation, wiped away everything that had a resemblance of Jehovah, put him in a foreign nation called Babylon. But he would not allow that to stop him from trying to change things. And a church or a people or a pastor that's ever going to do anything in this area, it's going to be a guy of change or a woman of change. Cannot become complacent and see the kingdom come. Jesus says, as long as it's day, I'm working. There comes a time when the age ends and you can't work anymore. We've got to enjoy. And you're changing people. One of the things that we do well here is change. We do. We've learned how to change. But back to my thing on evangelism again. Why is it that we will not be what is called an evangelistic work? Bonnie and Jody were visiting a church in Athens last Sunday. And so we were questioning them. We want them to be in a good church. We want them to be around, you know, the Spirit of the Lord. We don't want to be in the Pharisees and getting that poison into them. And so we're questioning them. How was it? How were things? And they were in a church that was very outreaching. That was the thing that Jody mentioned. And he said it's very obvious that they are an outreaching church. They are people that go out and bring people in. There are people that go out and minister to people and are evangelistic. Now, it's not just us. We've got to recognize something today. I'm not getting after us. But I am trying to make us aware that there is a controlling spirit over this area, because nobody's doing it. And so it's got to be confronted. It's not going to go away. And we've shouted at it. Amen? We've bound it and loosed it. We've done everything that we know to do other than confronting it. We've sang to it. We've punched it. We've done everything we know to do except confront it. And what Jesus did, what these men of God did, was always confront. They confronted that controlling spirit. And what you've got to do in your life, and I've got to do in my life, and that thing that's controlling us, we've got to confront it. We can never bring change to an area if we can't change ourselves. can never bring people into the kingdom if there's parts of us that aren't there. And so we've got to learn that this thing is a spirit. It's a controlling spirit. And it gets upon us. Now, that's not a spooky thing. There are principalities and powers. We're well aware of this. But folks, you know, spiritual warfare gets us pumped up. But I don't think it does a whole bunch to the spirit. Does that make sense to you? You know, we get excited about fighting the spirit, but is it doing anything to it? I've not seen it, and we've tried it. And I think spiritual warfare is a lot greater than singing and dancing and shouting. I think spiritual warfare is commitment to change. That we make a commitment. I am going to change. I am going to change this thing. I am not going to be complacent anymore, and we're going to change this thing. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, what's happening? Change. Always change. Now, one more thought, and then I want to stop, and I want to look at Psalms 126. Psalms 126. There's two major things that I believe hinders change. Number one is controlling spirits, and then number two, captivity. Captivity. What captivity will do is take away your dream. I don't care what the captivity is, if it's financial and you have a dream to be prosperous, you cannot become prosperous as long as your captivity is poverty. I don't care how far you want to excel and minister in the things of God, but if your captivity is lust, you can't do it. It robs your prayer time. It will rob the way you minister. You feel this oppressing thing upon you that controls your thinking and your mind. And you cannot enter into what God has for you because there's a captivity. And I don't care what it is, if there's a captivity, then it takes away your dream. No matter what your dream is. I have a dream to be a pastor, or I dream to be an evangelist. But if your captivity is a fear to confront people, you will never make it as a pastor. You'll be a little wimp, a little hireling. If your dream is to be an evangelist, but you don't go out, you have a fear just getting out and talking to people about Jesus, then you're in captivity to that fear. And so what we're talking about here, I'm trying to bring it all into context into what God's been trying to say to us. We're trying to get a little further. You see, I've been throwing out seed. And I'm not seeing anything coming up. I'm not looking. It's either the wrong season or the ground's not prepared right. There's something that's wrong. And so what we've got to do is do some more plowing. We've got to keep waiting until this seed can find its good soil to start coming forth and busting out of the ground. And so we've got to go a little deeper. We've got to plow a little more. And so evidently we have some captivities. We don't recognize that change is what God wants to do, and there's some captivities that are holding us back. So in Psalms 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. What captivity always does is take away your dream. But when you get free from that captivity, when you get deliverance from that captivity, you begin to dream again. And you go forth with precious seed. And you sow in tears, but you reap in joy. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Another thing that captivity will do is rob you of your joy. and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Captivity removes your joy, your singing, your rejoicing in God. If you're under captivity of lust or captivity of finance, then there's these captivities that we can fear. Are these things that we're in captivity to? We cannot experience the pleasures of rejoicing and being with God because of the captivity. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, that they sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What we do in captivity is we stop planting. But when he turns our captivity, we go forth sowing with our precious seed, the things that God has given to us, the precious Word of God. I told you last week that the Word of God is incorruptible. It's an incorruptible seed. And that when we go forth with this incorruptible seed, that it's going to bring forth something. But what you do in captivity is you have to eat your own seed to survive. And so what God wants to do is bring us free in freedom. He wants us to confront these controlling things that are in our life. He wants us to defeat these controlling things that are in our life so that we can go forth with a seed that will bring forth a harvest. What is your dream? What is your dream? The Bible says to write it down, make it clear. That those that read it may run with it. See, we have a dream, but there's no running. There's more than just dreaming. There's more than singing. There's more than prophesying. There's somebody's got to run with this thing. And so we have the precious seed, but we eat it for our own survival. But when the Lord turns our captivity, then we're able to go forth, sowing in tears, but reaping in that joy, and bringing forth our sheaves. For harvest. The Lord is very, very interested in harvest. And once again, I ask you, who have you talked to about Jesus this week? Who have you purposefully planned? I'm going to go to them today and talk to them. I'm going to learn something about them today. I'm going to learn their family's name. I'm going to start plowing this field. I'm going to start preparing this field for harvest. Who have you talked to this week about Jesus? Are you eating your own seed? You come in here and get all this seed and then eat it yourself? Is your dream destroyed? What's got you captive then? I'm trying to plow. I'm trying to confront a controlling spirit that's in you and that's in me. There's something wrong. There's something wrong in a whole area. Where nobody's out talking to people about Jesus. Something wrong. Something has me captive where I don't feel good enough to. Or something has me under a spiritual control where I'm not able to. There's something wrong. And God wants to change it. What's your dream? What's your dream? Why aren't you running with it? What has you kept? Let's pray. Father, you're good God. You're good all the time. And Lord, you come forth challenging us today. I believe you're very serious, Lord. About what you've told us these last couple of months. Nothing's happening. And I feel like, Lord God, you're wanting to go deeper now into our lives to show us that you want to help us. You want to change our lives. You want us to go forth confronting controlling spirits in ourselves and in others. So I ask you, Lord God, today, you'll give us a boldness to do that. The Lord, whatever has us in captivity, whatever it is, Lord God, that keeps our dreams from manifesting, that you'll cause us to confront that. We'll stop looking in the mirror day after day after day, saying, I need to change this. But you'll let us come about with the Spirit of God that gives us a liberty to change it, a power, an ability. Put your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You say, Delbert, I recognize that spirit of control that's over this area. And I do see that there's got to be some confronting, and it's not going to be fun for me. I have some loved ones. I have some people that are going to go to hell if I don't confront them with the spirit of control that's over their lives. And I've got to confront some controlling spirits to bring some change into my fields. And you say that and you want to commit to that, I want you to slip your hand up. Amen. Thank you. Then you'd say, now, me personally, I have a dream, but I'm not running with it. I want to do this and I want to do that, that will bring forth and prosper the kingdom, prosper my family, prosper me. But this thing has me captive. And I just come here every week and I eat the seed. Or I get my paycheck every week and I have to eat the seed. Or I get my money and I have to buy my medication because I have to eat the seed. And all these things are happening in my life where I just have to eat the seed. I'm not able to plant into people's lives. I'm not able to take the seed. I have to eat it myself for my own survival. And I want that broken over me. And I want to change. And I want to change my area. I want to change my world. I want the kingdom to come and God's will to be done. That's you. Slip your hand up. Amen. Okay, I want you to come down. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. One thing the Lord told me today. Be coming. Come on down. One thing the Lord told me today as I was walking with Him, He says, Delbert, you're not praying for enough people. And I know the principle. See, I know that it's a team effort. It's a teamwork. We got to be a team. Elders and deacons and people coming up to minister to people and praying for them. But the Lord told me that I wasn't praying for them. And I know there's times when there's going to be lots of ministry that's got to come forth. There's got to be the teamwork thing. Like right now, all these people. I've got to pray for them. The Lord told me this morning, you pray for them. Because they won't change. And I'm a changing person. I'm a nonconformist. I change. I'm a person who cannot confront. I'm a person who's not fearful of people, a man, woman, boy, girl. I fear nothing. And that's what it's going to take. If there's anything I've proven to you and to this body, this church, I don't fear people. I don't care. I don't care what they are, who they are. I don't fear them. Only thing that's interesting to me is what Jesus is saying. I'm bringing the kingdom of God to this Northwest Georgia corner. That's what I'm here to do. That's my purpose. That's why I'm born. To affect every community, every city, every area in this Northwest Georgia corner. I want to see a church. I want to see life groups. I want to see things all over this Northwest Georgia corner. I believe we can do that. I believe we can do that. I believe we can put churches in every city. I believe we can put life groups in every community. I believe we can do that. I want to see it affected. I want to see something changed. I want this controlling spirit to go. Okay, I need some people up behind these people. There's going to be some falling down. I was talking to somebody yesterday, last night. They were asking me how things were going. I said, well, things are going good. I said, but when things go good, sometimes we get complacent. And I said, you know, it's like what I've tried to do in the past is I've tried to bring in ministry once every couple of months, outside ministry, and it gets us pumped up. And we fly high for a week or two, and then we're right back to where we were. I said, I think I'm going to change that this coming year. I think what I'm going to do this coming year, I said, was I'm going to get outside ministry to minister every week, and I'm going to preach about once every month or two. We got to change, folks. Amen. Let's lift our hands. Father, we commit to you now ourselves. We come down, Lord God, because we want to change. We recognize there is bondages in our life.